In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31, we read, "Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Does that sound like something you need? Does that sound like a prescription that would be good for you? Even the most energetic among us will sooner or later finally wear down. We all need strength. Oftentimes, some of us need it a lot worse than others do at some given time. Sometimes we desperately need strength. Daily, if we're watchful, we can see people all around us who find themselves in circumstances of desperate need for strength just to carry on because of the things that they are facing in their lives. Maybe you're going through something like that right now. Perhaps you're down and are in need of some comfort. David said in Psalm 88, verse 4, "I am counted among those who go down in the pit. I am a man who has no strength." Maybe you failed in some glaring aspect of your life and you're in need of restoration. David said in Psalm 31, verse 10, "My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away." Perhaps you're mourning and are desperately needing some comfort. David said in Psalm 77, verse 2, "In the night my hand is stretched out without wearying, but my soul refuses to be comforted." Have you been challenged and are in need of some encouragement in order to meet that challenge? Have you been crushed and are right now, this moment, in need of some consolation? David said in Psalm 69, verse 4, "More than the number of the hairs on my head are those who hate me without cause." As we've illustrated just from those words of the psalmist, there can be any number of things going on in our lives, any number of problems or types of problems that leave us feeling that we have no strength, that leave us in dire need. The truth is that at any given time on this earth, there are thousands, millions of people who could use a good dose of that strength that we read about a minute ago in Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 30 and 31. I'd like to take you to a place in our study this morning that will tell us how to get the strength that really matters. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, the little book that was written by Simon Peter that falls there near the end of the New Testament. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn there with me. We're going to be reading our lesson text in just a few minutes. If you were to open up a book that contained an introduction to the epistles, you would, in reading about 1 Peter, would learn, of course, as we've just said, that it was written by Simon Peter. It was addressed to Christians who were scattered throughout Asia Minor. And an introduction to the book would probably tell you that the key word in this little epistle is the word suffering. Suffering. It occurs 15 times just in those brief pages of this little letter. This epistle carries a spiritual message of encouragement, instruction, and admonition. And obviously the people that Peter was writing to were people who were dealing with problems and difficulties in some ways not really all that unlike the problems and difficulties and challenges that you and I are facing. The challenges of sin and a culture that was counter to what they believed and considered to be most important. 2 weeks ago, from this pulpit, we discussed a lesson that brought us face to face with the reality that we too today live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, a twisted culture that's all around us. And daily we are challenged with the challenges to just try to maintain our course in spite of the obstacles that our society and our culture puts in our way. The Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write these words to Christians who were badly in need of that renewed strength that Isaiah spoke of at the very beginning. And I believe he tells us in chapter 5 how to get it. And that's what I'd like for us to look at for the rest of our time this morning. Based on this text, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, I'd like for us to notice three things that we must develop and use in our lives every day. And then, at the conclusion, we'll briefly note four things that God will do for us. Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, there are three things, I think, that stand out in that passage. Three things that we need to develop and use every day that we live. Number one, I believe Peter suggests that we must develop sincere submission. Verses 6 and 7, he said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you." Human weakness. There are some days that go by and we feel like we've got a double or triple dose of it. Some days it seems like we're doing pretty good, got things kind of in balance, and then all of a sudden, just when we thought everything was going well, human weakness, once again, is factored in to our day. But folks, let me tell you something. Human weakness is no match for the endless resources of God's strength. It's time that we came to grips with that fact, even though sometimes it seems like we'd rather revel in our weakness. We'd rather complain and moan and groan and talk about everything that's going wrong in our lives. Let me tell you something. Whatever it is and how bad it is, I don't mean to be mean, but whatever's wrong in your life or my life isn't any kind of a match for the resources of God's strength. Do you know what the real problem is? The real problem is that so many times we have fooled ourselves into thinking that we're stronger than we really are. In some ways, this is a problem that is peculiar to being Americans. I'm not knocking America. I'm proud to be an American, as the song says. But there are some things that go along with the mindset and the mentality and the attitude of a lot of people here in the good old USA. Our culture and its influences contribute to this problem of thinking that we're stronger than we really are. As Americans, we value things like determination, willpower, ingenuity, individuality, emotional toughness, guts. Don't get me wrong. In their proper regard, I think all of those things are very important. But I can clearly see that we sometimes let our nationalism get in the way of our spirituality. When I look around and recognize the kind of things that we as Americans value and put such a premium on, well, quite frankly, it's a little bit embarrassing. We put the greatest value on the bigger, the better, the faster, the stronger, and being able to have more of it than anybody else. And we'd like to think that there is nothing that we can't handle. The dilemma here is that Christianity is all about being emptied of ourselves and letting someone bigger and stronger and more capable than us have the final say. And our culture today says that that's weakness. Not only does our culture see it as weakness, but our culture today sees that as a threat to everything that should be desired. And thus, we're constantly beating our heads up against this wall. We're constantly doing battle with our spiritual aspirations, which require that we humble ourselves in the sight of God so that He may lift us up. And at the same time, trying to maintain our status quo and keep up with the Joneses and all that kind of stuff. Because after all, we don't want to get left behind, and we sure don't want our children to be embarrassed. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24-25, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And in the text of 1 Peter chapter 5, the last part of verse 5 of that chapter, just previous to our lesson text, Peter says, "Clothe yourselves, all of you." See, he's just been talking to elders. Then he sort of shifts gears and he says, "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble." And then from our text, verse 6 again, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you." One aspect of achieving that renewed strength that God promises, that we so desperately need, is letting God be in charge. Sincere submission. Number two, we must constantly employ spiritual sobriety. In verse 8, He says, "Be sober-minded." King James says, "Be sober. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." To sum it up in a very, very simple way, what he's saying here in this point is, be careful. Pay attention. You see, years before Peter penned this epistle, he had had his own run-in with the devil that was recorded in Scripture. Jesus warned Peter in Luke 22, verses 31 to 34, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And Peter said to him, "Lord, I'm ready now to go with you both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you deny me, or that you know me." In spite of the fact that Jesus said, "Peter, be careful," even being so plain as to say the devil wants to get you and he wants to take you apart, he wants to sift you like wheat, Peter said, "Lord, you don't have to worry about me. Not me. Well, I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die for you if I need to." And as the events of that evening unfolded, you remember the story, how that just exactly as Jesus had said, Peter denied that he knew the Lord. When questioned a second time, he denied again that he knew Him. And the third time, he denied with an oath and cursed and swore and said, "I told you, I don't know Him." And then the old rooster began to crow, didn't he? The old preacher said about that time the rooster called him a liar. And he went out and wept bitterly. He wept because he knew the Lord was right. He wept because he knew that he'd been wrong. He wept because he wasn't nearly as strong as he thought he was. He wept because he needed that strength. He wept because he hadn't been watchful. The call for spiritual sobriety, watchfulness, demands that we stop taking God for granted. We've got the promise of His care, but we cannot go about this life in a perpetual state of reckless carelessness, living our lives as we will, knowing at the last minute God will reach down and jerk us out of the fire. Because it seems like He's done it so many times before. Because you see, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's bold and active. He sows discord between man and God, between man and man. He'll do everything that he can to drag us out of the fellowship with the Lord and out of the service of the Lord's church. So in order to be strong, we've got to be spiritually sober, watchful, and aware. Number three, we must be characterized by sound steadfastness. In verse 9, regarding what he has just said in verse 8 about the devil, he says, "Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." King James Version says, "Be steadfast in the faith." I believe Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 gives us a real good working definition of that term steadfast. There, Paul says in writing to that church, "If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you have heard." Stable, not shifting. A sure sign of spiritual weakness is shifting or wavering. You know, sometimes we become so predictable. Granted, sometimes some of us more than others. But we'll go through a period of time when we're just on fire for the Lord. We're so hot, the devil couldn't stand to get near us, and we're just taking the world for Jesus. And then all of a sudden, somebody says something that doesn't go over just right, or we get our feelings hurt, or somebody forgets to say something that we think they ought to say. And all of a sudden, here we are, you know, we're just as cold and tired and worn down. We have to be dragged by the scruff of the neck back into spiritual service for the sake of the Lord. And then the right thing is said, and we feel guilty, and with renewed dedication, we devote ourselves again to the task of spirituality. Is the only thing that is consistent in some of our lives from a spiritual standpoint of service the fact that it's perpetually inconsistent? God is looking for steadfastness out of us. Constancy. He demands that we develop the maturity that will not only stand strong in the face of temptation, but He's depending on you and me to carry the load. And some of us aren't carrying our part. He's depending on us to carry out His work here on this earth in the midst of a twisted and perverse generation. And it deserves no less than our very best efforts and consistency. Steadfastness. We must be characterized by sound steadfastness. As we conclude this study, I'd like for us to look briefly at how Peter describes what God will do for us in renewing our strength. In verses 10 and 11, he says, "And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Just briefly, let's take them one at a time. First of all, restore. This is the same word in the original language that describes what James and John were doing to their fishing nets when Jesus initially came to them, I believe it was in Mark chapter 4, and called them to be apostles. The text there in that place says they were mending their nets. God will mend us. The word is sometimes used to describe the process that is employed and the final result of causing a broken bone to grow back together so that it once again can be utilized for the purpose intended, restored, mended, put back together. Does your life need to be put back together? God is the only one who can do it, but He can only do it if you'll let Him. The second thing that Peter says that God will do is to confirm. This word literally means to settle in. It is terminology that is suggested in the words of Jesus and in the description that He gave of the abundance of physical blessings that will come to those who give. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, where He said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together." What He means is when you put something of a loose measure into a container and you shake it, it settles in and leaves room for more. That's the thought that's suggested here in the word confirm, meaning to settle in. It may be that our lives are so full of the kind of things that just don't pack together and work properly. My part is to get rid of the bad stuff, and then when the good stuff is left, God will help me to shake it and vibrate it so that it all settles in. And then Peter says, God will strengthen. Strengthen. This is a specific term that is used to describe the process of tempering steel by subjecting it to extreme heat and then suddenly and very quickly cooling it by quenching it in water or oil. And we've got a word today for that. We call it tempering. And you know that regular steel is strong, but tempered steel has gone through that process that makes the end result even stronger than it would be just because it's steel. It's steel that has been tempered. This is the term that Peter uses to describe what God will do for us. We've got a certain amount of strength by virtue of the fact that we are human beings made in God's image and have the intelligence to find our way through this life in a sometimes an inventive fashion. But if we're willing to let God heat us up and then cool us off in His way, we will be strengthened. We will be tempered. We will be stronger than just an old run-of-the-mill human being ought to be. And then Peter says, He will establish us. Now this, again, is an interesting term. It's a word which actually means fix, to make fast, or to set in exactly the way that concrete sets. Begins in its liquid state, but as time passes, a few hours, it sets, or as we say, sets up, and becomes hard. And it's suitable for far more things than it was in its liquid state, or even as so many raw materials mixed together. Peter says God will establish us. He'll cause us to set up like concrete. He'll make us capable of bearing the load. He'll restore us. He'll confirm us. He'll strengthen us. He'll establish us. All in the quest of bearing up on the wings of eagles. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Are you in need of some renewal? Wouldn't you like to have the strength that matters? You can only get that with the right relationship with God, and you can only have the right relationship with God if you're willing to obey His will. The New Testament is very clear regarding what we have to do. It teaches us to believe in Jesus as God's Son, to repent of our sins, to confess Jesus as Lord and Master of our lives, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And then are we added to Christ. If you as an erring child of God have wandered astray and need to be restored, this is the opportunity for that. If your heart is willing, if you'll come acknowledging your waywardness and seeking the forgiveness and the restoration that God offers, we'd like nothing better than to pray with you and for you. God would like nothing better than to forgive you and restore you. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.